No other book has so profoundly impacted so many lives as the Bible.
Welcome to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. Today we conclude the book of Hosea, where the prophet predicts that Israel will fall by the sword. However, there is no Savior like the Lord, who will heal their backsliding. We hope you join us as Pastor Daryl continues in Hosea chapter 13 on Simply the Bible.
We read in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, this is true of individuals, but it is also true of nations, as we see the nation of Israel coming to a point of spiritual death because of their sins. And yet, God still had a message of restoration for the future. We continue today in Hosea chapter 13, and we'll conclude the book today. "When Ephraim spoke trembling, he exalted himself in Israel, but when he offended through Baal worship, he died. Now they sin more and more, and have made for themselves molded images, idols of their silver according to their skill, all of it the work of craftsmen. They say of them, 'Let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves.' Therefore they shall be like the morning cloud, and like the early dew that passes away, like chaff blown off from a threshing floor, and like smoke from a chimney." Now, Ephraim was the largest tribe in the northern kingdom of Israel, and they prided themselves. Both Ephraim and Manasseh were the sons of Joseph that Jacob adopted, but then he reversed the birth order, putting Ephraim before Manasseh, even though Manasseh was the firstborn, because he said that Ephraim would be the more fruitful of the tribes, which it was. It was the large tribe and a powerful tribe. Joshua came from the tribe of Ephraim. At first, the tabernacle was set up in Shiloh, which was in Ephraim, and then Jeroboam the first king of the northern kingdom, also came from Ephraim. And so they exalted themselves, but they exalted themselves to the point of worshiping Baal, which was a great offense, and as a result, Ephraim died. That is, he died spiritually in his fellowship with God and also in his moral decay. "Now they sin more and more," the Lord said. Their idol worship was really believing the lie that an image made with their own hands was God. That error opened the floodgates for other lies to overwhelm the nation with moral depravity. And that is always the result of when one turns away from the living God to worship things that are not God's. "Now then," he said, "let the men who sacrifice kiss the calves." How foolish can it be? The men were sacrificing to these dead objects and even kissing them as though they could respond and do something. What idols does our culture kiss today? Pleasure, power, possessions. But these cannot save a person from death. And so God said that they would be like the morning clouds, or like early dew, or chaff that would be blown off a threshing floor, and smoke rising from a chimney. All of these things describe that which swiftly passes away, and so it would be with those who had worshipped idols rather than the living God, Yahweh. "Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior besides me. I knew you in the wilderness, in the land of great drought, when they had pasture, they were filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. Therefore, they forgot me." God said, "I am Yahweh. I am your God. You should have no other gods before me." That was the covenant that he made with them when he brought them out of Egypt. And he said, "There is no Savior besides me." How true that is. Even in the present day, when people worship many different gods, there is still only one God who is the Savior. And he alone has provided the remedy for sins. And he proved that by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, he provided water for them and food in the wilderness. He led them as a shepherd leads his sheep. He brought them into the promised land where they were filled with every good thing, and then their hearts were exalted. But rather than giving the Lord thanks for all that they had received from his hand, they forgot about him. And this is where we see the parallel with our own nation. What a wonderfully blessed nation America has been. And yet, as we have been blessed, are we giving God the credit? Are we giving him thanks? Or have we become exalted in our own hearts and minds? I think it is the latter. So I will be to them like a lion, like a leopard. By the road I will lurk. I will meet them like a bear deprived of her cubs. I will tear open their rib cage, and there I will devour them like a lion. The wild beast shall tear them. Now, God longed to protect them as a shepherd protects his own sheep, but because they would not keep their covenant with him, he would become then as a lion, a leopard, and a bear who is deprived of her cubs. These were natural enemies of sheep, but now God would become these predators to his own sheep. O Israel, you are destroyed, but your help is from me. I will be your king. Where is any other that he may save you in all your cities? And your judges to whom you said, give me a king and princes. I gave you a king in my anger. They took him away in my wrath. And so this is going back to the history of Israel when they first demanded to have a king and be like the other nations. And so God did give them a king. He gave them Saul, and yet Saul did not have the Lord's heart. And so God took him away in his wrath. But none of their kings had really been a king that could save them or give them help or deliver them from their enemies. Only God would be able to do that. And so, you know, God would be their king in the future. Now, Hoshea was the last king of Israel who reigned, and his reign ended in 722 BC. They have not had a king in Israel since then. And so God said, I will be your king. And of course, that will occur when Jesus Christ returns again, according to Revelation chapter 19. The iniquity of Ephraim is bound up. His sin is stored up. The sorrows of a woman in childbirth shall come upon him. He is an unwise son, for he should not stay long where children are born. The text is a bit difficult to understand, but the Lord compares Ephraim's iniquity to a stillborn son. He gives the impression that he will come forth as the fruit of the mother's womb, but instead he stops short and dies in the birth canal. Therefore, he is an unwise son. Now, that's even more significant because the name Ephraim means fruitful, and yet he would not be fruitful. He would be as sorrowful as a stillborn son. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be your plagues. O grave, I will be your destruction. Pity is hidden from my eyes. Now, translators have grappled with how to interpret this verse, verse 14. The context seems to be that God would bring the plague of death upon them and not have compassion on them. And that is better reflected in the New American Standard translation of this verse. Shall I ransom them from the power of Sheol? Shall I redeem them from death? O death, where are your thorns? O Sheol, where is your sting? Compassion will be hidden from my sight. And so here it is like God is saying, look, should I keep you from death based upon everything that you've done? And so it's like he's calling for death. Verse 15, though he is fruitful among his brethren, an east wind shall come, the wind of the Lord shall come up from the wilderness. Then his spring shall become dry, and his fountain shall be dried up. He shall plunder the treasury of every desirable prize. So the Assyrians would come like a drying wind from the east to plunder the land and take them all away captive. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child ripped open. Terrible. Samaria was the capital city and jewel of Ephraim, but she would fall by the sword. The Assyrians were known for their extremely brutal and heartless acts of violence. Now, the final chapter of Hosea, chapter 14, ends in a note of hope and restoration. O Israel, return to the Lord your God, for you have stumbled because of your iniquity. Take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity. Receive us graciously, For we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in you the fatherless finds mercy. And so God says, return to the Lord, though you have stumbled because of your iniquity. And so God is looking forward to them coming back and being restored in the millennial kingdom. But remember, the backdrop for all of this was that God told Hosea to marry an unfaithful wife, Gomer, and then she would leave him, and then she would end up being a slave, and he would buy her back and then say, don't go out for me anymore, be my wife. And so God was bringing back his people in the same way, saying, return to the Lord. Say to him, receive us graciously, and we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. We won't look to Assyria anymore. We won't look to our own military might. We won't look to the gods that we've made with our own hands, but it is in you, Lord, that the fatherless finds mercy. And how wonderful that is. Even when we have strayed away, God says, come back to me and you will find mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for my anger has turned away from him. I will be like the dew to Israel. He shall grow like the lily and lengthen his roots like Lebanon. His branches shall spread. His beauty shall be like an olive tree and his fragrance like Lebanon. Those who dwell under his shadow shall return. They shall be revived like grain and grow like a vine. Their scent shall be like the wine of Lebanon. I love this. God says, I will heal their backsliding. Despite how evil Israel had become, how idolatrous, and yet God said, I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely. I will bring my wayward wife back to myself and love her freely. And then her branches shall spread out. God speaks of their prosperity during the last days in the millennial kingdom. Their fragrance will be like Lebanon with the cedars and the wine, and they shall be revived. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard and observed him. I am like a green cypress tree. Your fruit is found in me. And what a wonderful day that will be as Ephraim discovers really the Lord is all that she needs. She's done with her idols, and God is her husband forever. Who is wise? Let him understand these things. Who is prudent? Let him know them, for the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. And I think this is the word for us. There are so many parallels to our own nation. And though we may not see a national revival, that may not happen, but we can experience revival on an individual basis. And so the call, who is wise, let him understand these things. Let him know that the ways of the Lord are right. And the righteous will walk in them. But it is the transgressors who stumble over God's commandments, who say, we don't want his commandments. We will throw them off of us. But then they will suffer even as Ephraim suffered. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to Simply the Bible, the Through the Bible teaching program of Pastor Daryl Zachman of Calvary Chapel, Treasure Valley. We are happy to announce that we are building a new facility in Southwest Meridian. For more information or to give towards this project, please visit calvarytv.org/buildingproject. That's calvarytv.org/buildingproject. To listen to previous episodes, check out our Simply the Bible podcast. Tomorrow we will look at Psalm 135, which calls the people to praise the Lord. He is great in creation and has defeated Israel's enemies, unlike the idols of the nations that are dead and do nothing. We hope you'll join us as we continue teaching through God's Word on Simply the Bible.